ABOO.org. That's the annual book and record sale on Sunday, September 14th.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Enemigo Imperialismo, Enemy Imperialism, a bilingual community art exhibit that explores the dimensions of imperialism in the world today. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. Artists around the world have responded to violence with work that questions the legitimacy of the state and empire. Enemigo Imperialismo points to one of our common targets in the fight for global justice and invites us to reflect on power, resistance, and self-determination. Again, that's Enemigo Imperialismo. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. The show will be up until September 25th. More information can be found at kwoo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10.01 a.m. Coming up is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Followed at 10.15 by Flashpoints, looking at the FBI's terrorist watch list and the U.S. government admission that more than 40% of the persons on the list have, quote, no recognized terrorist affiliation, unquote. At 11, Shahid Hamid hosts It Takes a Village with a focus on Ferguson and police killings. And at 11.30, we'll get a preview of the upcoming Justice Begins with Seeds conference and film series with organizer Miguel Robles and one of the speakers, environmental and native land rights lawyer Claire Hope Cummings. Thanks, KBOO members, for your continued and generous support for KBOO. If you're not a current member, you can remedy that at kboo.fm. Click where it says Donate Today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, September 5th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a lot of guests lined up for today, but what's actually happening is we have Kshama Savant joining us. Kshama Savant, of course, is the socialist candidate, won a seat on the Seattle City Council against all odds and all the pundits' flimsy, limp predictions. She triumphed over all of them, as did her idea. And her idea has been on the minds of American workers for years now, if not decades, ever since the wages of the average person began to decline. And we can put that particular date at anywhere pretty much you want, starting from the 60s and moving up to the present day, where wages not only have stagnated, but compared with taking into account inflation and so forth, they've actually declined. So $15 an hour is very little to ask. In fact, $15 an hour makes a family, that's just barely survivable. That's not asking a lot. That's not greed. That's not people with a summer house in the Hamptons and several cars and their kids going to Harvard. Oh, no. $15 an hour keeps people afloat. yesterday at Exposition Park in Los Angeles. Police said 10 protesters were arrested during a march downtown for higher wages. About 300 employees and supporters in Los Angeles, as well as in more than 150 other cities, took part in the city at McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King. So it's starting, it's moving across the country. It's extremely difficult for people who work in these restaurants and fast food places to come out for a demonstration. We don't realize the risks that they take. We don't realize what is at stake for them. We don't realize is how delicate is their situation with management. And we are delighted to welcome back Kshama Sawat to the KBOO Airwaves. Good morning, Kshama. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is really exceptional. We talked about this a long time ago when you were running for City Council in Seattle and talking about this and literally shocking people. If you got up there and talked about sex, drugs, whatever, people couldn't have been more shocked than the idea of actually paying people for their work. They're the people who actually create the obscene wealth at the very top. The money that the one percenters enjoy, it comes from somewhere, right? Someone does the work. So we talked about this going national. Looking across the country at what's been happening as a result of your message, how do you see things unfolding going forward? More marches, more people taking up the cause?
First of all, the actions that we saw yesterday that were organized by the labor movement, by fast food workers, by low-wage workers in general, and by community activists, this is such an inspiring reminder for us that it really starts making a change when we come together in solidarity around a common cause, around a common political demand that we know at this point the $15 an hour political demand is really electrifying. It's galvanizing people all around the country. And for all the people who are wondering whether it would happen in Seattle, they've seen it happening. You know, we know that if we build a mass discussion, a mass, momentum, we build a movement, even if it's in one city, we can win victories, and that can spur on other victories. So what we've seen yesterday is tremendous. Workers in 150 cities walking out on strike with 15 and a union as a demand, but not only that, escalating that in the form of civil disobedience with mass arrests. You know, I think at least 500 people were arrested. And it's not just in cities like New York City. It was cities like Kansas City, Missouri, Detroit, San Diego, Miami, Denver, Charleston, South Carolina had people walking out, had fast food workers walking out. This is incredible, and home care workers have joined them. It shows that we are living in changed times. It's fast food workers walking out. It's the young black people in Ferguson. It's home care workers demanding a change. It shows that what we've built in Seattle has the potential of being the precursor to what can be a sweeping change across the nation. And that's why when we built the 15 Now campaign in Seattle, we didn't just stop in Seattle. We now have organized many different 15 Now chapters across the nation, which have been part of what happened yesterday.
Yeah, what you started was clearly a national movement right from the get-go. And I think, too, that a lot of this is due to your own personal, so I don't like to use the word charisma, but you have a very powerful presence and method of delivering the message. And that's largely been a factor in the success of the $15 an hour campaign, which is so obvious to anyone that it has to come, because if it doesn't come, the country is coming down. I want to ask you a tricky question, though. For years and years, in the labor movement and on the left, there's been talk of a general strike and what that would take. Are we? Do you see this approaching a general strike? Because there are vastly more underpaid, low-paid people working one, two, three, sometimes four, five jobs just to keep things together. It seems like we are pretty much hitting the boiling point here. What do you think the prospects are for a general strike?
So, Chris, you're totally right in saying that things are reaching a boiling point, and we can see that happening not only from the fact that an entire generation of young workers has been condemned to a lifetime of low-wage work with no better prospects for their future, but it's also other things. There's social tensions, there's social upheaval. The black community and people of color are starting to rise up, and you're also seeing this friction with the right wing's attacks on the rights of reproductive rights of women, and you know, and how can we forget what's happening with environmental activists who are demanding a fundamental shift in society, and that's why we're having this major climate change march and rally in New York City on September 21st, which is going to be the largest ever in relation to climate change. And so as far as the potential for major movements, you know, movements like none of us have ever seen before, movements that happened decades ago before we were born, there is no question that there is potential. Everything that we're seeing today, even the smaller walkouts for $15 an hour, they are a symptom of the subterranean rumblings that are happening that are inevitably going to come to the surface. And I have no question in my mind that the American working class has the capacity and has the endurance and the courage to carry out not just mass movements, but as you said, general strikes. But the question for us now on the left is, how do we build the movements today to go towards that point? You know, we not only want to go towards a point where we can have general strikes, we can have really movements that bring in millions of people, but we want those movements to be successful. We want to be able to fight successfully not only for reforms under capitalism, you know, sweeping reforms, but we also want to fight for fundamental change away from capitalism. So we have to really, seriously think about how that is going to happen. And the only way that can happen is if we don't rely on the Democratic and Republican parties, we don't rely on an amorphous concept of a leaderless movement, because let's be honest, a leaderless movement, in other words, means the leaders will be the bourgeois leaders, you know, the leaders of the establishment who are not going to be on our side. So at the end of the day, the question is, how are we going to build that leadership? That's what we have to think about today, and that's why we have to empower people from the working class, people from the community, to see that the role that I or others may be playing, they can play that as well. And we need many more. So I would say, if people are listening to this and if people are inspired by what we've done in Seattle, they're inspired by what's happening all around the country, then they have to take on that responsibility themselves of building that leadership.
Well, it seems too that you providing a sort of a template of a new kind of leadership, which is which views the role of a leader as just another job that needs to be done, and that all of us, the dignity we all share in the commonality, the dignity of work and leadership. It seems that you've taken that on as a job that has to be done, so by stepping forward into that vacuum where labor has largely, in this new environment of social networks and media, a sort of a media wasteland, that you've stepped into that, into the breach, and taken on this extraordinary role of leadership minus the sort of the glory of it, and just the work, the dignity of work. I want to ask you, in the short time we have left, I want also to give you time to let listeners know how they can support your campaign, because right from the get-go, as we always have said, this, your campaign is national. You've always been fighting for everyone, not just Seattle, everyone. One quick question, though. You talk about the disenfranchised, and now we have the rolling back of the Voting Rights Act, which is an extraordinary thing that has happened, and has is this going to impact? What are we going to see in the next cycle of elections? How will this impact the poor, people who traditionally don't vote because they're simply exhausted and feel, as I said, disenfranchised and outside the political life of the country? Where do we go from here at the voting booth?
Right. I think that's an important question. I mean, people on the left, people everywhere in the U.S. are thinking about what the impacts will be on the court's attacks on the Voting Rights Act. And there is no question that it will have an impact in exacerbating the disenfranchisement of the oppressed layers amongst us. But at the same time, we have to remember that these things are happening. You know, why are the courts lashing out at these basic freedoms that are supposed to have been etched into our Constitution? Why is it that the right wing is attacking the reproductive rights of women? Why is it that we're facing all these sort of, you know, battles? Why are these battles coming to the fore? This is happening because the ruling class, the capitalist class, the political establishment, the business establishment, they understand also, at least the more intelligent ones among them, understand what's going on. They see that things have gone so far in terms of economic disadvantage, the explosive nature of inequality, and the social crisis that is being faced by entire communities all
around
the world.
Hang on to that thought. We have to go shift gears from the live portion of the interview. If you have time and you're able to join us in just a moment, we have to stop from right now, but we're out of time. But if you have time to talk more on that topic and a couple of other questions too that we should touch on, then we'll pre-record something. I want listeners to know that we'll have more of your thoughts, your ideas, your voice on the air, but recorded though. But for now, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time on very short notice to be with us. Quickly, a website where people can follow your campaign.
Yes, absolutely. Please go to 15now.org, the number 15now.org, and please also